Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
Welcome to this special edition of St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske, and we're glad you're joining us this weekend. George Floyd died at the hands of Minneapolis police 2 weeks ago Monday, and in the 14 days since, protests have filled the streets from New York to Los Angeles, New Zealand to Rotterdam. Here in the St. Louis area, residents have marched in Ferguson and St. Louis, O'Fallon and Ladue. It hasn't always been pretty. Locally, protesters have taken the highways, at times blocking traffic for hours. One person died on I-44 after an incident involving a FedEx truck trying to evade looters. And on a particularly ugly night, last Monday, a large protest was followed hours later by looting and gunfire. A retired police captain was killed and many businesses were vandalized. Protest organizers condemn the violence, and we should make clear all of that happened hours after they told people the protest was over and urged them to go home. Now, since that night, the city of St. Louis has been under curfew, and peace has reigned. That's even as protests have spread throughout all corners of the region. That was the scene last night in St. Charles, the second major protest in St. Charles in the past week, in fact. Hundreds turned out. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Jonathan All was there, and we'll talk to him in just a moment. But we do want to stress, we're here today because we want to hear from you. What do you think about the protests that are taking off across St. Louis? Do you support the calls for police reform and the tactics used by protest organizers? If not, why not? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at STL on Air or email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Now, throughout this past week, we've interviewed protest organizers on St. Louis on the Air, as well as others in the community with a special interest in the conversation now taking place across the U.S. We'll play some highlights from those conversations, and we'll get a full update on everything going on across the region from St. Louis Public Radio politics editor Fred Ehrlich. First, though, let's go to Jonathan All. Jonathan, welcome.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you.
So you were on the protest beat yesterday. What did you see on that assignment?
Well, first thing that was very interesting was we were our first assignment was to go downtown to Keener Plaza for a protest that was scheduled there, and only about 20 people showed up, and It was very interesting that that happened, but all of the protesters that we were talking to that were there, the handful, said, well, that's because they're in St. Charles or they're in U City, and they talked about other places where people were. And I think that says something really significant that needs to be underscored here is the number of people who want to be involved to send a message is so big that groups can organize and they're not having people show up because they are drawn to different places because of the popularity of people wanting to get together to make a statement. And I think that's very significant.
Yeah, there's almost
so then
too many
when
options.
We realized that protest wasn't happening, we went over to St. Charles, and that was a very, very interesting scene. As you said, there were hundreds of people there, and they marched towards I-70. And by the time we got there was really when probably the most tense moment was when the police had blocked off I-70, and they were standing about three rows of, you know, 10 to 15 police officers each in riot gear were standing on I-70 facing the side of the road. And on the side of the road were the protesters, and they stretched more than 100 yards along the side of the road, 15, 20 deep, so it was a very big crowd, and they stood on the side of the road behind the guardrail, and they chanted, and they yelled, and they sung, and because this particular protest was to honor the memory of Breonna Taylor, the woman in Louisville who was shot, she was shot 8 times, they held up their fists in the air in silence for 8 minutes. Then after that, the protesters peacefully marched away, and they went back to their original congregating spot, rallied a little bit longer, and then went home. No arrests, no violence, but a very significant protest that was held in St. Charles.
And it seems all the more remarkable. Yesterday was extremely hot. I mean, it was humid. I think the high was something like 94 degrees. And as you're saying, hundreds of people, they were out there for a couple of hours?
Definitely, for maybe 3 hours at least. Not only was it that hot, but remember, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Most of the people who were out there had masks on. And I think we all have experience with the increased difficulty of breathing and just kind of discomfort that goes along with wearing a mask. Well, if you have that on outside in 90 degree plus heat, it's even more intense. So yes, but I'll tell you, the weather and face masks did not diminish the intensity of this group at all.
Now, as you mentioned, this was a protest in honor of Breonna Taylor. She's a Black woman. She's an emergency technician. She was killed in a no-knock SWAT raid in Louisville, Kentucky. And Ohun Ashe is one of the lead Expect Us organizers in the St. Louis area that puts on a lot of these protests. And our producer, Lara Hamden, caught up with her yesterday. Here's what Ohun had to say about the reasons for the rally.
Yesterday was Breonna Taylor's birthday, and it's important to tell the stories of Black women. Breonna Taylor was murdered on March 13th, and she is just now getting some of that same recognition that men who have been killed by police in the past have already gotten. So we thought it was super important to uplift her, to uplift her story, and just to reaffirm that, say her name, because Black women are being murdered by police as well. I think that more conversations in a lot of the Black communities, in the Black trans community about Black women, those conversations are starting to happen. So we thought, once again, that it was so important to affirm that and show that Black women matter and make a rally for Breonna, make a space for Black women.
And that, again, is protest organizer Ohun Ashe speaking in St. Charles yesterday. Jonathan, I'm curious about the composition of the crowd. St. Charles is a more white area of the St. Louis area. Was the protest reflective of that?
Well, you know, with a crowd that size, I can't say definitively that, you know, we counted and that we knew for sure. But I would say just my reaction was that it felt like maybe a 50-50 black and white crowd. So I think it was definitely racially mixed for sure. And just my impression was that it was probably about even numbers of white and African-American people that were out there.
It's interesting. And we've seen that in many of these protests across the area. So what a diverse crowd that's turning out for these. Well, St. Louis Public Radio reporter Jonathan Aull, we want to thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Sarah. Thank you.
And joining me now for more insight into everything that's taken place in the last week is St. Louis Public Radio politics editor Fred Ehrlich. Fred, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what has struck you most about the week of protests that we've had here?
Well, I'll build on what Jonathan said. What has amazed me is the location of the protests. I've lived in the St. Louis area for more than 30 years, both sides of the river. I currently live in O'Fallon, Missouri, and I've lived there for nearly 20 years. And if you told me that this week 2,000 people would show up for a Black Lives Matter protest in O'Fallon, Missouri, I would have told you were crazy.
And that happened.
It happened. It happened, and it's happening all over. I mean, they've been in Frontenac. They've been in Festus, Missouri. Jonathan later tonight will be covering a rally in Rolla, Missouri. I mean, these are just incredible places where these rallies are happening, and I think it's because to quote Bob Dylan, the times they are changing, and they're changing in these places. And that used to be predominantly white, still are predominantly white, but the attitudes are changing and the diversity is changing.
I want to go to the phone lines here, and that, again, is the point of today's show. I'm excited to talk to Fred about everything that's going on, but I really do also want to hear from you, and you can join us at 314-382-8255. Our lines are now open, and I am going to go to Nicholas, who is calling from St. Louis. Nicholas, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. This is my first time calling. I'm witnessing a different experience than, you know, what we witnessed here in the city in 2014, where I actually did play an organizing role in a lot of the early stuff that happened, you know, after the death of Michael Brown. And so to see the things that are happening now, and the differences are very interesting to me. Like, you know, the like your panelist just said, 2,000 people in O'Fallon. I walked with about 300 people yesterday in Creve Corps, right? That's unheard of in the past. And something else that's been interesting to watch is the destruction. I have to say, I'm not that opposed to it. I think that, you know, where prayer and vigils have failed and where marches have failed, you know, some people, if you have a vigil with 500 people, I mean, that's, you know, the authorities or whoever it is that you're trying to change their mind, like, they don't care. But whenever you start seeing these destructions, I mean, it's a response. It's been a response to the police oppression. It's been a response to the lack of response from the, you know, from electeds and from, you know.
And those, yeah, I mean, as you say, that has definitely been eye-catching. I think, Fred, what happened on Monday night, and some very tragic things happened on Monday night, but at that point, the entire community was riveted by, here is this movement that is taking place.
There's no doubt, and that's why you see families participating in these marches. I think that people are just fed up with the status quo, and they want change.
Nicholas, I do have a question for you. You said you were very active and you were even an organizer back in 2014, the protests that followed the death of Michael Brown in Ferguson. What do you think has changed since then?
Well, I think that 2014, like, it caught a lot of people off guard. Mm-hmm. I worked in Ferguson. I was a union organizer for Christian Care Home, which is kind of an infamous place in Ferguson. You know, and I got to say, like, we learned a lot as far as organizations go, but when it comes to the, I really don't know what to say. It's just,
yeah,
people who were silent then, or maybe people have just had 6 years to mull it over and realize that, you know, saying things like, oh, Ferguson set back race relations 20 years is the exact opposite of reality.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Nicholas, that maybe what happened in Ferguson almost primed St. Louis to come to terms with a lot of things that maybe the rest of the country is only coming to terms with now. Fred, thoughts on that?
I think that's true, and I think a big difference is video. You know, when Michael Brown was shot, there was no video of that, right? Now everybody in the world has seen the tragic George Floyd video. And it's a different thing, I think, when you see things, when you see it for yourself and you judge yourself, and it's just heartbreaking to watch.
Nicholas, I want to thank you for that call. A lot of interesting insights in there. Go back to the phone lines. Rebecca is calling from Fairview Heights. Rebecca, hi, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts on this?
So I think it's been really awesome seeing all the protests that have been happening across the St. Louis area, but also across the country and the world. And I think the progress that has been made with these protests has been astounding. And it's really been, I think, eye-opening for everybody across the St. Louis region, but also around the world, that of the systemic violence that happens in the United States and globally towards people of color.
Rebecca, have you gone out for any of these protests?
I have, actually. I went to one on Monday, the one in front of the Justice Center, and then I was also at two yesterday, the one in Kirkwood, and I went to the one in St. Charles.
So you're staying very busy. What's your sense as you're there in the crowd with the protesters? How would you describe the mood?
I think the mood has been really just, like, uplifting, and the fact that, like, all the protests have been extremely peaceful, and that the goal for the protests, I think, to organizations like Expect Us and the Kirkwood Teachers has overall been that we're here to send a message of peace, and that things need to change, and that the way we're going to do that is by going out there constantly and being in just, overall, I think, having that protest and taking an action that people in St. Louis aren't going to allow for this violence to happen anymore.
Rebecca, thank you for that. And that's great to hear this report from somebody who's on the ground, not as a journalist, but there as a participant. We're talking to St. Louis Public Radio politics editor Fred Ehrlich, and we're also taking your calls. And we're going to be happy to take a bunch more here after the quick break that we're going to take. And so if you're interested in joining us, we're curious, what are some concrete steps St. Louis could take to stop police brutality? And what overall are your thoughts on these protests going on? You can give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK, and we'll be back very shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Welcome back to this special edition of St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske, and I'm here today with Fred Ehrlich. He's the politics editor of St. Louis Public Radio, and we're discussing all the news of the past week as protests have drawn huge numbers in St. Louis and around the world. Our phone lines are open, and in just a moment, I'm going to go back to some callers. But before we do that, I do want to mention, as Fred and I have been talking about, a lot of these protests are taking place in the suburbs, and they seem to be drawing from people who live there in addition to the organizers. And we have some audio. St. Louis Public Radio reporter Rachel Lippman was there Friday when there was a youth march through Frontenac, Ladue, and Town and Country. These are some of the nicest, I shouldn't say nicest, that's a value judgment. These are some of the most affluent suburbs in St. Louis. And Rachel was there, and she captured this sound from organizer Victoria Neal. Victoria graduated from Ladue High School just this past year, and she explained why so many protests this time around have been taking place in well-heeled suburbs.
They can't not care if it's at their house. They can't ignore it if they see it with their own eyes. They can't ignore it if it's the reason that they can't get to Frontenac Plaza. If it's the reason that they can't get their Starbucks. If it's an inconvenience for them.
And that is organizer Victoria Neal, who was one of the people behind the youth march that went through Frontenac, Ladue, Town and Country. Fred Ehrlich, you're a correspondent from the suburbs. As you say, you live in O'Fallon, Missouri, which is a very nice, lovely, affluent suburb. Your thoughts on whether this is upsetting people or bringing them into the fold?
I think it's bringing them into the fold. I think there, of course, is, you know, an element of the old guard that is probably scared of protests, scared of what might happen. They've seen some violence elsewhere. But I think for the most part, these are people who maybe haven't ever protested before that have gotten motivated and are out there because they see the injustice.
Mm-hmm. And there it is right there in their backyard. That's maybe
right.
Easier than going downtown. Or...
Right, right.
I want to go back to the phone lines. Ken is calling from Jefferson County. Ken, hi, you're on St. Louis on the Air.
How are you?
Thank you for joining us, Ken. What are your thoughts on this?
Thanks for taking my call. As I told you, somewhat expressed my opinion when you first screened my call, I am all for peaceful protests. I think what happened to George Floyd was murder, okay, in the first degree. And I think that cop, if not at the end of the day, the next day, should have been in shackles, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the three stooges that participated and watched, it shouldn't have taken this long to get all four of them. Having said all of that, you know, one thing that irritates me, though, is when I'm seeing the city burn, I'm seeing all these different places burn, I'm seeing looting, rioting, people running out with 12-packs, 18-packs, you know, tennis shoes, whatever, designer clothing, whatever. That's baloney. I'm sick of it. Another thing, if you want to peacefully protest, good. But do not block major thoroughfares or highways. That is against the law.
So, Ken, those highway blockages, and we have seen now, I believe, a couple of them, those really bother you, even though that's obviously quite different than people stealing sneakers from stores, things like that. What about that upsets you so much?
Well, what upsets me is why should someone who is fortunately right now back to work, I'm not one of them, okay? Mm-hmm. We should be starting back in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why should they have to sit there and drive home and have to wait while a major thoroughfare is blocked like 94 was from what I was told? I was not there, so if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me, and have to sit there and put up with that nonsense. And that's what it is nonsense. Now, the peaceful protesters, I don't believe, would sit there and, you know, sanction any of this nonsense that's going on. Like what happened with David Dorn, you know, 77-year-old retired police chief. But, boy, for some reason that gets on, you know, Facebook from what I was told. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I got off it a couple years ago because all the nonsense. But my thing is this, where is anybody going to sit there and speak out about this?
Ken, thank you for that. And I understand that you're upset about some of what you see as excesses of some of these protests. And obviously, David Dorn is the retired St. Louis police captain murdered in front of a pawn shop. Everyone has come together to condemn that. But Fred Ehrlich, talking about things like highway blockages, as he says, that is against the law. You see people who are part of the protest movement who support doing that. What's the thinking on why that's something good to do?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make sure we separate that from looting and arson.
Absolutely.
And it's two different things, and the protesters have condemned that themselves. And that's really a criminal element. That's not a protester that's going on there. As far as the highway blockages and things like that, I can't speak for all the protesters, but what I've heard again and again is that they want people to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They want people to have some inconvenience, even if it's small in a traffic, you know, being stuck in traffic, because otherwise, if people aren't uncomfortable, they won't get things changed.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do what they want to do.
So they kind of want to rile people up a little bit, the way Ken is riled up here, but it doesn't sound like Ken's a convert to their cause. Does that mean that the technique doesn't work?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, it's all part of the overall picture of what's going on here. And I think you can say, you know, it's little bits and pieces. It's the fact that marches are going on in suburbia all of a sudden. And I think the politicians in this country are starting to take notice. They will start to take notice. And to me, that's where the change is going to start.
They're going to get the politicians' attention, even if people like Ken are not feeling happy about this.
Right.
You make a good point there. And Ken, I want to thank you for that call. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that agree with Ken. And frankly, there's probably also a lot of listeners today who don't. And you are welcome to join us if you have strong feelings about this on either side. We'd love to hear from you. And our phone lines are at 314-382-8255, and they are currently open. We've also heard from some people on Twitter. Linda says on Twitter, the reform she would like to see come out of the protests is regular training in de-escalation and using non-aggressive / life-threatening options against unarmed persons. So some sort of change in how police are allowed to respond. James in St. Louis County is wondering when the protest for the murdered Captain David Dorn will happen. Now, I believe there already was.
There was a memorial service, and a lot of people have turned out. There's also like
this was a march through the streets, right,
yeah,
in addition
yes,
to the memorial
yes,
service.
Yeah,
I believe that was Friday.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I tell you, these things are happening so fast. I'm sorry, but it's hard to keep them straight. But yeah, I you know, and everybody agrees that couldn't be a more tragic situation. You know, a lifelong public servant trying to help a friend at his business is shot and killed, a black man, you know, by a black man being killed by a black man when we're protesting black people being killed.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's just
from everyone you talk to about David Dorn, he
right.
seems like he was just a wonderful person, so respected
right.
on all sides of
right.
of the policing divide.
Right.
I want to go back to the phone lines. Oh, and I understand that the memorial service for David Dorn was yesterday. I do believe that there was a march through the streets on his behalf on Friday in addition to that.
I think that's my understanding, too.
Okay. Teresa is on our phone lines calling from Highland, Illinois. Teresa, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, yes. I was just wanting to let you know that there was a protest in Highland. There was about 70 people, which Highland is a very rural, very conservative area, and I was proud that my 17-year-old daughter was part of that.
Teresa, that's great to hear, and that's great that you're supportive of your daughter.
Oh, absolutely. I have two that are ready to protest whenever, wherever. And I was wondering, is there like a centralized resource or a website that lists the protests in the metro area as well as St. Louis area? That, you know, a centralized resource that we can go to, or does NPR have a website that lists the protests, the dates, the times, especially the Expect Us protests?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there, I would look on the web and I wasn't able to find anything, just a listing of just when they are, where they are, what time.
Yeah, Teresa, that's a great question. I know for me, I often keep an eye on the Expect Us social media pages. They often post on Facebook and they post on Twitter when one is coming up. But they're obviously not the only organization involved these days. Fred, thoughts on where?
One that I follow is STL Activist, especially if you're on Instagram. They've been posting regularly about protests.
Okay. And sorry, say that again.
STL Activist.
STL Activist, Teresa. That might be a great resource for you. And we did want to mention Highland, Illinois. It's just 33 miles east of St. Louis, but it's definitely a different flavor. It's a population of about 10,000. And Teresa, you say 70 people came out. Do you know who organized this protest out there? Were these Highland residents?
They were Highland and the surrounding communities. There were several people. The police actually, I know, reached out to the protesters and helped them organize this. It was really an amazing effort on both the organizers and the police department, I must say.
Well, that is great to hear. And thank you for that report from Highland, Illinois, Teresa. We appreciate that. Going to go back to the phone lines. Maxine is calling from St. Louis. Maxine, hi. You're on St. Louis on the air.
Hi, I'm Maxine Johnson. Thank you for having me on the air. But my question is, where do we go from here? How do you connect protesting phase 1, 2, and 3? And we've been a part of protests. I'm with an organization called ONUS, O-N-U-S. The website is changeisonus.org. And our CEO is Gerald Sanders, J-E-R-R-O-L-L Sanders. We have written, national proposed legislation birthed out of Ferguson 6 years ago, and we've worked continually behind the scenes. And this is Gerald Sanders is a journalist and a strategist. She experienced how to look at a problem and solve it. And we believe that what the people are asking, after you get through marching, all of that is necessary to raise awareness. Unfortunately, there will be casualties, and that's with any protest in Tiananmen Square and all over the world. And I'm just asking people to go to that website, sign that petition. What we do have, and this is a comprehensive plan, it's called the Equality in Policing Act.
Okay.
The Equality in Policing Act, and in parenthesis, hashtag URLEIA.
And Maxine, is this something that you're hoping to get passed at the State House? This would be something for the Missouri legislature to take on here?
No, this is for national. It's the same movement. Now, we're asking the committee people, the alderman person, the mayor, the state rep, the state senator to hold the national congressional members accountable to bring this national legislation into it. What has to help with policing has to be the same thing how they got rid of Jim Crow law. It had to be dealt with on a national level with the Civil Rights Act.
That makes sense. So you'd like to see action in Congress. Fred Ehrlich, thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. I have one word for change, and that's elections. You know, if you want change, elect people who are going to give you change. That's how it happens.
We're talking to St. Louis Public Radio politics editor Fred Ehrlich, and we're also taking your calls. There's so many people wanting to join us today, and that's great. This is obviously a subject, Fred, that a lot of people care about right now in St. Louis.
Absolutely. It's done something I didn't think it could do, and that's knock a global pandemic off the front page,
right? It's so true. It suddenly feels like pandemic.
Right,
what pandemic?
Right.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Jason is calling from Farmington. Jason, hi. You're on St. Louis on the air.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us, Jason. What are your thoughts on this?
Thank you for having me. I was just thinking, we've talked a lot about the protests and everything like that, and it's amazing to see people come together. I'm just thinking, you kind of said something about it earlier, like concrete steps, where are we going from here, getting to not just more protests, but saying, hey, how are we going to change these institutions to make things different? And for the St. Louis area, to me, that just means getting rid of this Del Mar divide that we talk about all the time, you know?
Jason, I mean, I agree with you. Getting rid of the Del Mar divide is the key to everything. But then when it comes down to the how to get rid of the Del Mar divide, do you have an idea of a concrete step you'd like to take that would address that?
Activism from the higher percentage of people that have money and going in to build, not just upgrade the infrastructure for one. There should be better systems for transportation, and people shouldn't feel so uncomfortable to go out. And in terms of just getting a workforce there, union outreach or something like that to teach trades and teach people jobs and skills that don't rely on crime or other activities of that nature. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Dad, Jason, those are some pretty good ideas. Fred, what do you think?
You know, I agree. I think some of it comes down to money, where the money is being spent. Are we spending our money on social justice programs, for example, and to really help people in need? And I don't think we are doing enough in that regard.
Okay, well, Jason, thank you for that call. And as Jason says, this Del Mar divide, this is something that we all know is holding this city back, holding the region back. But trying to tackle it, it seems like it's something that's very hard to come up with ways to to dismantle this problem.
Yeah, and I would say one of the ways to do it also is, and I mentioned elections, but also then hold the people who get elected accountable. You know, it's boring to go to a city council meeting, but that's where things happen in terms of if you want change in your community.
I want to go back to the phone lines. Cookie is calling from St. Louis County. Cookie, hi, you're on this special edition of St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, thank you for joining us. What are your thoughts on this?
I want to respond to our friend Ken.
Ken from Jefferson County. He was upset about how he was not in favor of highways being blocked, among a few other things.
And I want to enlighten him, if I may. Number one, highways being blocked is a strategy to take away time and convenience. It gets the attention. The second strategy is the attacking of retails gets attention via the money. So it's really simple math. When you add money, time, convenience, it equals social change. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys.
Well, Cookie, thank you for that. You said that just so eloquently. Fred, thoughts on what Cookie's responding to Ken with?
Well, one question I have for you. When you say attacking retail, are you specifically talking about looting and damage?
That is correct, sir.
Okay,
that is
So I would respectfully disagree with you on that. I think that there's sort of a line here of what gets attention and what gets things accomplished. And I would argue that that does not accomplish what the goals are. And in some ways, it's counter to that. And State Representative Rasheen Aldridge said last week here at a protest that he implored people not to do those kinds of things, that all it does is when one of the things that we've been trying to avoid at St. Louis Public Radio when we've been reporting is say a peaceful protest turned violent because it's been a different group of people. And so, no, the protest didn't turn violent. Different things happened at night by different people. And so, you know, and he addressed that. He said all the good that you can do in one afternoon of protesting can be undone in one night of looting and damage.
Cookie, it sounds like you do have a different perspective than Fred on this, though. You support people who might go out and loot to get the point across.
No, I've never used the word support.
Okay, this is why I wanted to hear back from you.
That's right. I said it's a strategy to affect the economics, the convenience. And with all due respect to the male speaker, one has to understand that change evolves. One doesn't have to continue using these strategies. But I'm pointing out these are the reasons and what it equals up to. And if I may, real quickly.
Sure.
We do need to put the same level of fervor to our local prosecutors who are overseeing government and criminal aspects in the city. We've got to watch the selection of the grand jury members. This is on all fronts. We've got to be selective about the venues where these cases will land up. You've got to watch your judges. It's great to get to this point. But if we're going to be changed all the way, we've got to hit all those fronts.
Cookie, thank you for that. And Fred, I think there's some things Cookie said just now that you would agree with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I respect your opinion.
So, Cookie, thank you for that call. We do need to take a quick break now. But when we come back, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Our phone lines are currently open if you want to join us. And again, that's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at STL on Air. And we will be back very shortly in just 1 minute to continue this conversation. This is a special edition of St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7 KWMU.
Support comes from Gemma. Architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at jemastl.com.
Welcome back. I'm Sarah Fenske, and I'm here with Fred Ehrlich, who is the politics editor of St. Louis Public Radio, and we have a number of people ready to join us on our phone lines. But before we do that, I want to go to somebody who's out there in the field right now at the very large protest that began at St. Louis City Hall, I believe just 2 hours ago, maybe it was 1 hour ago, and that is St. Louis Public Radio reporter Ryan Delaney. Ryan, hi.
Hello, good afternoon.
So I understand there was a big turnout for this thing. Any estimates on the crowd?
Well, that would be hard. I can tell you definitely a couple of blocks. I heard one protest organizer put it at 5,000, but you know, they tend to aim large. But I would say one thing, you know, I'm sure the numbers this past few days have been about the same. We've just seen one large protest this afternoon instead of several going on at the same time as in the last few days. Mm-hmm. So definitely concentrated.
And Ryan, what's the mood in the crowd there right now?
Well, we're all hot and taking our time because of the heat. I'd say probably every other thing out of folks at the bullhorn's mouth is to remind everyone to take a drink. But, you know, people have told me that they're tired and, you know, from having to come out over and over again. There's a lot of emphasis on this being a peaceful demonstration and making our voices heard.
That's great. And one other thing I wanted to ask you, it's just been striking to so many people just how many, frankly, white people have been coming out for protests this week. Is that also the case here in this protest that began at City Hall?
Yes, I would say that the crowd is definitely fairly diverse. And I was talking to someone at the, just as we were getting going, who about 40 years old, and also commented on the fact that it's definitely important and noticeable and confidence-inducing that you know, these crowds at these protests get more and more diverse.
Hmm. Well, St. Louis Public Radio reporter Ryan Delaney, thank you for the bulletin live from the scene.
You're welcome.
And stay cool out there. I don't know how that's possible, but we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I got my water and trying to find shade.
So take a drink. Thanks, right. Ryan. Okay, we want to go back to the phone lines. Our phone lines are full. Anne is calling from Sunset Hills. Anne, hi. You're on this special edition of St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, thank you for joining us today. What are your thoughts on this?
So my thoughts are, I think it's fine that they're protesting, but my concern is them blocking off the highway. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's right. I think they could stand on the side and do their protest.
And what would you say to the argument that Fred Ehrlich, the politics editor here, was making when he was talking to other people, that this is what it sort of takes to get people's attention, that why we're talking about this is in part because they're blocking traffic? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it gives the attention, but I think it's the consideration that people need to take by standing on the side.
Mm-hmm. So by the side of the highway, not in the middle of the highway, would be your preference?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it could be dangerous for some of those people, too.
Yeah, I mean, Fred, there have been some times that blocking a highway has grown dangerous.
Absolutely. Although, from what I've seen, for the most part, in this recent round of protests, is the police have been helping to block the highways from traffic, and you know, sort of guiding the protesters along the side of the road, so it's as safe as it's possible with that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, safety can be a concern. It sounds like people are trying to minimize that this time around. But Anne, thank you for that call. I know you do speak for a lot of people out there. They do not like the highway blockages. Let's go back to the phone lines. Nicole is calling from St. Louis. Nicole, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having this really valuable conversation.
Thank you. It has been so fascinating to hear all these perspectives. I got to say, I'm really enjoying myself.
It's great.
Yeah. Fred and I are in a studio without air conditioning. It's about 95 degrees in here, and we are still having a great time. So, Nicole, we'd love to hear your thoughts on all this.
Absolutely. So I live in St. Louis City. I live in Benton Park West, and there's a lot of redlining in the area and surrounding areas. And I see the direct effect on the community around those areas. I think one big thing when people talk about defunding police, I think that it's another area that really could use those kinds of finances, in terms of like local politics and things. I agree, like holding people to their promises. And I would really love to see those areas rehab, especially especially falling down homes and neglected areas. I think that could be very valuable.
Nicole, I'm curious for your thoughts. You're a city resident, and I know a lot of people are worried that the city has a lot of crime. I'm one myself, so I don't feel that way. But, you know, that's certainly the perception out there that it can be a dangerous place. This movement to defund the police and invest that money in something else, is that something that you would support?
I do. I actually consider myself a mental health advocate, and there's actually, just as an example, BJC Downtown is actually a like mental health resource, and they do community health, and that's what they address first. They even have a line called BHR, which is Behavioral Health Resource. One thing they do is they send a social worker if you're in crisis, but they also send a police officer with them, which I think could be something that would be changed. I know personally on my street, we all communicate and we keep in touch with each other, and we're all from very diverse backgrounds and economic status. And so it's really great to see on the ground. I think that's absolutely where it starts.
So you'd like to see some of that money that goes to the St. Louis Police Department be channeled into efforts like mental health workers, things like that.
Absolutely. I think community action is definitely the way that we need to go. I know it's a very like novel idea to people to defund the police, and a police-free society is very, very surprising to people. But I think at least some of those funds, there's so many funds, mm-hmm. I think at least some of them could be reallocated to that community action for community healing.
Nicole, thank you so much for that call. Fred, Nicole has led right into something that I am finding fascinating. In Los Angeles, where I used to live, in Minneapolis, and in New York City, there seems to be a movement, they call it defund the police, and basically to cut pretty strongly the police department's budget. Are you hearing any talk about this locally?
I have not. I mean, I've heard the proposals, of course, out there, but it has not seemed to be here as far as what I've heard, in terms of how it has been in those other cities. I don't know if you've seen this video, but there was a video out, I believe, yesterday of the Minneapolis mayor who was at a protest, and they specifically asked him what his policy were, and basically they booted him out of the protest. It was really interesting. I would say what's going on here is people looking at what we're spending money on and not necessarily specifically defunding police, but I think there is a view that priorities need to shift. Mm-hmm. You see it with some of the funding that this area is getting from the getting back to coronavirus for a second from the federal aid. There's been a lot of talk at the county council. There's $173 million on the table about using that money for better social programs, better things like daycare and things like that, which address some of these issues that lead to what we're seeing now.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting discussion. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out in municipalities across this region. And we are talking today, that voice you just heard, with St. Louis Public Radio politics editor Fred Ehrlich. We're talking about the protests that have taken place across the region in the last, is that 8 days?
Yesterday was the 10th day.
Okay, the 10th day here locally.
I believe so.
And those, of course, all were sort of jump-started by the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, but thousands taking to the streets of places all around the area. I want to go back to the phone lines. Chris is calling from Tower Grove South, that neighborhood in St. Louis City. Chris, hi, you're on this special edition of St. Louis on the Air.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us today. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first I would like to, there's two things I'd like to talk about. One is people are upset about the protesters blocking the highways. This has historically been a move to show the media the numbers of people that are actually there.
Hmm. And it does seem to be working. I would say they definitely have the media's attention right now. Chris, you also said there was a second point you were hoping to make.
Yes, no one's been actually talking about the police and the police, the behavior of the police. And the police themselves, hopefully, can develop some policy. I'm actually a senior citizen, and I have worked in community organizing efforts with the police. So my experience is I've encountered people that I thought were good police, and I've had a rash of incidences with men, primarily, who shouldn't even be police officers. And 35 years ago, I was walking down Euclid in the Central West End and saw a good friend across the street running, he's an African-American man. He was running, and I thought, oh, he's like getting back to his job at the architectural firm because he was at lunch. And I watched as a police car pulled up, handcuffed him, I ran across the street and I said, what is going on? And my friend said, he was just totally resigned to it. And he said, black man running. And the cop said, shut up. Mm. And he looked at me and he said, go move away. And I said, no, I know him. And when I said that, I watched as the cop's shoulders dropped. There was about probably about 5 seconds of, oh, no, because my whiteness gave him credibility.
Hmm. And so were you able to avert that? They did not take him away, your friend.
They did take him away.
They did
take him away. And as he was leaving, I said, because we both live in the neighborhood, I said, do you want me to go talk to your mom? He's like, no, it's okay.
And he was able to then, I guess, just deal with this. He was used to dealing with it, it sounds like. And that's just what a dispiriting story, Fred. And I know that many members of the black community have had to deal with this for just too long.
Right. And I don't think, you know, unless you're a person of color, that you can really completely understand that. Because you walk freely and never are hassled just because of the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm. I want to thank Chris for that call and for her insights into this. I want to go back to the phone lines. Grace is calling from St. Louis. Grace, hi. You're on this special edition of St. Louis on the Air.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. What are you thinking about right now?
Well, you know, I'm kind of honestly appalled hearing people talk about blocking traffic as a bad thing. And I want to just kind of remind everyone that that's an example of nonviolent direct action. That was used by Martin Luther King. That was used by Rosa Parks. I can't think of any specific examples with Gandhi, but I know white people love Gandhi. And I know he also used nonviolent direct action. So I really just want to encourage people talking about inconvenience to think about what side of history you want to be on here. And also the fact that this is a life or death issue for many people, and your inconvenience as you're driving home is really not.
Yeah, I mean, Grace, you said that really well. I see Fred nodding here.
Completely agree. You know, I mean, you can't. It's an inconvenience, and that's nothing compared to the issue of innocent people being killed.
Mm-hmm. Grace, thank you for that call. Let's go to Jim. He's calling from unincorporated St. Louis County. Jim, hi. You're on St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
In addition to that, I'll just go with the gentleman in O'Fallon on the issue of blocking roads. Well, I'm sorry, it's inconvenient, but think of that. Let's track the number of times a black person has been pulled over or stopped on those same roads just because they're black. How inconvenient is that?
That's a good point. I mean, it obviously doesn't even begin to level things out, but it's maybe a small taste of what others have to deal with on a much more regular basis.
Right. And you said this, Sarah, if you protest, there has to be something that is there that gets people attention. It's sad to say it shouldn't be that way, but that is part of the when there's been successful protests and movements in this country, there have been times where people were made uncomfortable, and that accomplishes things.
Mm-hmm. Jim, thank you for that call. It's interesting to hear that this, I think some of the people that were against some of these highway blockages, I believe it was Ken and Ann, they've kind of struck a nerve with some of our listeners, which is nice to hear.
Right. I get it. You know.
I want to play a voicemail. When we announced this special edition of St. Louis on the Air, we opened up our voicemail line as well, and we got a message from 73-year-old Mary Stevens, and she told us that this moment has her thinking back to the protests that she participated in more than half a century ago.
I did participate over 50 years ago in the March on Washington to protest the Vietnam War, and I marched in a memorial march for Martin Luther King Jr. after his assassination. We marched from the Arch to Forest Park over Easton Avenue, that since was renamed to honor that great leader. Today I have mixed feelings. I am so proud of all those folks, young and old, black and white, speaking out against injustice. But I'm also disheartened that after 50 years, we as a people have not progressed any further than we have in ending racial injustice.
And that is Mary Stevens, who's 73 years old. Fred, thoughts on that?
Well, that's powerful stuff. You know, and it's sad that this country has not come as far as it should, and we still have such a long way to go.
Yeah, and as you say, there's a reason that so many people, hundreds, maybe even thousands, are out there today at St. Louis City Hall. The fact that we're all talking about this, it certainly doesn't mean everything's solved. It's a step in the right direction. One last thing from Twitter I want to leave everybody with today. Joshua writes, "One thing I'm proud of is the younger generation rallying thousands of people together for the fight for equality. These kids are our future for change." Certainly, the kids are really leading the way on a lot of this.
That's true, and that's where change generally comes from, right?
Well, on that note, two non-kids, we're going to bid you adieu, and we want to thank everybody for joining us today. We had some amazing callers. I'm so sorry we didn't get to everybody else who's lined up, but it's great to see the passion for this subject. And St. Louis Public Radio editor Fred Ehrlich, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we want to close out with a song. Over the PA system at yesterday's Peace Walk in Kirkwood, organizers played Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come. And we want to go out of today's show with audio from that great song, originally from 1964.
It's been a long, a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
And tomorrow is Monday. We're back to our normal noon slot on St. Louis on the Air. You can join us as we get up to speed on the news. We'll also discuss what it's like to be deaf or blind during this pandemic and discuss some of those challenges. And we'll also meet Missouri's first certified divorce real estate specialist. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Evie Hempel and Lara Hamden, with production assistance from Aaron Doerr. The senior producer is Emily Woodbury. The executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Sarah Fenske.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.